September 7, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Bye.
Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Sunday. Now, Brother Matt, we got a schedule to do this together, but I didn't get word from him in time, so I got to see what's over. But not totally alone. You heard me start off the show. Actually, the last tune from this lost album they found at John Coltrane. It's called, they decided to name it Both Directions at Once. It was done the day before he did the Johnny Hartman Ballads album back in 64. Slow Blues. And then after that, we had a song called Honey from our guest today. I'm not totally man alone here in Pedro, because through the magic of those engineers in Estonia and their software, Skype, I got Pip Blom from Holland. You're in Amsterdam, right, Pip?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Yeah, welcome aboard. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Pip, can you tell me your earliest musical recollection, your memory?
You mean the song?
No, I mean, music-wise, if you think back in your mind, what's your earliest musical memory?
Well, my dad used to play me and my brother songs before we went to bed. So when we were in bed, then he played a few songs on his guitar, and he always used to play Hank Williams' Good Looking. So, yeah, I think that's probably one of my earliest recollections.
So we call those lullabies.
Ah, yeah.
A lullaby is a song you say to make a baby calm, or kids so they can go conk. And hey, good looking. D. Boone used to do that. Yeah, Hank Williams.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if he wrote it.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he wrote a lot of good songs. Okay, yeah. So you grew up in a house where there was people playing music. Your pop played guitar and sang.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so. So very early that there's music being made in the house. Can you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Well, I don't think I bought a lot of records growing up, because my mum used to work at she worked at a radio station, a Dutch radio station for alternative music, so she brought home a lot of CDs because she got them to listen to at home. And so she was working at the radio, but she also had this online platform about music. So we were like, our parents played a lot of different types of music to us in the car.
Right. So you're exposed to a lot of stuff that you didn't even know where it came from, except, the radio station and stuff. But I'm curious about when you started to develop your own kind of taste, your own opinion. Like, what was the first thing you got for yourself?
I think it probably was something like LaRue. Not 100% sure, though, because, of course, when I was growing up, there was a lot of iTunes and all that kind of stuff. So when I was younger, I always used things like, was it YouTube into MP3 converter and all that kind of stuff to put it on my iPod.
Because you're coming from a place where music really isn't manifested physically.
No, it used to be like that you could do that kind of stuff.
Sure,
but now
it
changed.
Right. Ones and zeros, right?
Yeah,
because like for me, like right, the first 445 I bought, the first 8-track tape I got, right. This is these days a little more different, because you actually get the music; it's not so much the object.
No.
Okay, I understand. So your pops, let's get back to the music thing. Your pops playing guitar. Did they encourage you to take music lessons?
No, not really. Though I think I wanted, because I saw him playing. Of course, I think I wanted to do it as well, but I wasn't really good at it. And I had the lessons with my best friend, and we weren't in the same school anymore, so we saw each other once a week during those lessons. So we ended up just chatting instead of playing guitar.
Okay. Oh, they were guitar lessons. Okay.
Yeah.
What about in school, when you guys went to school together? Did you have music in school?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, every week.
And what was that like? Like choir or...
Well, I think it was very diverse, so a bit of everything,
Like play the recorder. I know a lot of people when they're young, It's this kind of flute, right, called a recorder.
Okay, yeah.
Tell me about that.
I'm not sure if you learned that.
And I don't know about Dutch schools so much, but is there like marching bands? Because, you know, in the U.S. we got a lot of sports, right? So you got a band that plays at the football games and stuff like that.
No, we don't have that in the Netherlands.
Okay.
And it really depends on the school, because all schools are pretty different. So some schools are more focused on tech and others are more focused on music or more focused on, different kind of subject. It's not, I mean, the general thing is the same, but then a school decides if they want to like invest more into music lessons or that kind of stuff.
Okay. You know, I want to play this song, The Shed.
Cool.
You know, when we say The Shed, when we say to woodshed here in the U.S., it's kind of slang for practice, because like you go out to the woodshed in the backyard, right? You do practice. So The Shed.
My mind overrules attention. Thank you. trying to.
Kite from a broom in the
extricate from a night in the light. Make him hang all night. Make him hang all night. He'll be flying high. Hang Mr. Kite from a cloud, he will cry. Thank Mr. Hips for advice that he grips. Let us dance on those. Let us dance on those. We'll keep flying by. We'll be flying high.
That's The Shed from Pip. And I was telling her about the slang we got for, yeah, practice when we want to get on something, we would shed. Then Ned Collette right after that. He's got a brand new record and tune here. No wonder you look so forlorn. Maya out of the city. The Russian lady who moved to San Francisco. Silence in the Air. The Preambulators after that with What Do You Know? Eli Kessler, he's got a brand new record. And Lotus Awnings, Stillhouse Plants out of Glasgow with Warm in the Car, Guided by Voices, Hang Mr. Kite. think they mean Mr. Kite from the Beatles song. And finally, My Mind by Pit Blow. My Mind, you know. Obviously, you got into songwriting. How did that happen?
Well, it started off when I saw this competition in Amsterdam, and it was just for singer-songwriters, but I had never written a song before. But then I thought, like, it was very impulsive, thought, I'm going to try and do this. And we had this three-stringed guitar, it's called the Luke, and I thought of this concept, like, I wanted to write, you needed to have three songs to enter a competition,
yeah.
So I wrote three songs on that guitar, and I wanted them to be all under 2 minutes. So I wrote those three, and then they wanted me to join the competition, and then I had to play for 20 minutes, so I had to write, like, crazy to fill up those 20 minutes.
Right, that's you needed three songs to get the competition, but once you got in, you had to fill up 20 minutes, because they were only two-minute songs, so you had another 14 minutes, yeah. I'm curious about the Luke. How are the strings tuned? What notes?
Well, it depends. You can pick the three strings you want, but I picked, like, the top three. So it's so that, like, the E, B, G. I picked those three because then you can. Well, I think I picked those three, or maybe I picked the three middle ones because then you can just
open to the book.
Yeah. So that's really easy. Especially for beginner.
I was going to say it's kind of asymmetrical because E to B is a fifth.
Yeah.
And then B to G is a sharp fifth. So kind of, but whatever. I mean, I'm into it. That's why I was curious about it. It's a Dutch word, Luke?
No, I think it's an American, it was a Kickstarter project. So it's
L-O-O-G.
And my dad is always really into Kickstarter, and he saw this, and he thought, well, this is really cool. So then he bought it, and I used it a lot because it was easier for me because I have pretty small hands.
Sure.
So to start off with learning guitar, it's easier to play just three strings instead of six.
So it's kind of it's a modern instrument.
It is, yeah.
Okay. And Kickstarter, that's where... listeners out there, crowdfunding, like somebody gets a good idea, and if they could just get money together, so they ask people to donate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if you donate, you can get the project or the item yourself.
Sure. And this instrument's acoustic?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, but now they've made an electric as well.
Okay. Wow. I got to check this instrument out.
Yeah.
So anyway, how'd the competition go?
Well, I ended up in the semi-finals, which was really nice, and I didn't expect that at all, but I've never played on the stage before that competition, so those were my first four gigs, and I was so nervous, because I was 16 as well, so it was like, everything felt really, like, intense. So yeah, I was glad that it was over.
Yeah. we call those gigs pants shitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had many of those. I still have gigs like that.
Yeah.
And I'm 60.
Well, okay. I think they're really important, but
it's not
the most fun thing.
Did people throw stuff?
No.
Oh, so that was okay then.
Well, you're right.
Well, I've had gigs where you would not believe the stuff thrown at me and stuff. So, and we call those character builders. Also, if, like, nobody shows up, we call those character builders too.
Yeah, I agree.
So, if these were your first public gigs, then you didn't do the thing where you, like, play in the garage band or the bedroom band and then play at the youth center or stuff like that? No?
No, because the thing was, I really wanted to be in a band, but I couldn't find anyone who wanted to be in a band with me too. So that's kind of why I started off doing this. And then after I finished the competition, I thought, okay, I want to make more like band music because I always preferred bands more than singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And then I asked around, but no one wanted to join me. So that's when I kind of started... acting like a band on my own. So that's when I started recording bass, guitars, singing.
Overdub on yourself, right?
Yeah.
Sound. We could. Les Paul invented that in the 50s. He called it sound on sound with his wife Mary Ford.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. Interesting. So, I'm curious. Why do you think Pip no one wanted to play? You think the culture is? Because I noticed in Holland, you know, Holland was one of the first countries in Europe I played, and it was very much into bands in the 80s. But you think things went more towards dance, maybe?
Well, right now it's a lot more focused on trap music and hip-hop.
Trap?
So that, yeah, trap, like Travis Scott, all that kind of artists. So it's kind of a genre.
You're saying T-R-A-P, right? Trap?
Yeah.
Trap? We call a slang word for the drum set is the trap kit.
Really?
Yeah, so I've never heard of trap music, so thank you for learning me.
Well, in the Netherlands, that's quite a popular genre. Okay. So that's why we don't really play a lot here. So we go to England, like, every month.
Okay, so it's like trap. So they're using electronic instruments, maybe?
Yeah, well, they're using, that's the thing, they're using drum kits, but it's really focused on the hi-hat, and it goes so quick that you can't do it live.
Right, I know what you're talking about. There are a lot of beats per minute.
Yeah, that's
so humanly, it's impossible, but if you're working a laptop and just pressing buttons, yeah.
Yeah, and it works.
So, I got to say, Pip, you do have kind of an English accent with your, I mean, I can hear the Dutch part big time.
Yeah.
But I do hear a little England. So you go there a lot to play because they like to watch bands more, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. They do, yeah.
Okay. So you're overdubbing, you're making recordings with yourself at your pad. You eventually do find people, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And how'd that happen?
Well, after a year, I decided to put the songs on Spotify, and then all of a sudden people liked it. So, and I, from the beginning, I always asked my brother if he wanted to join me because he's a lot better at playing guitar than I am, but he never wanted to be in a band. But then he did want to be in a band, so that was nice.
Is it older brother or younger brother?
He's younger. He's 2 years younger than I am.
Okay, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it is. And then I asked two mates from my school, but right now we've kind of changed lineup, so it's two different people, but it's still my brother and me.
Okay. So what, like a rhythm section?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are they Dutch dudes, people?
Yeah, everyone is Dutch.
Okay. So that means you can practice.
Yes.
Because, believe it or not, because of the internet and ways people can connect, I know a lot of bands where they can't really practice because they live in different, sometimes different lands.
Yeah, that's really funny, but I think I was...
Whoa, what was that?
I think I was trying to clean up my... It was the music on my laptop. It was a Cordy Barnett song, a little piece of a Cordy Barnett song. But anyway, I really like to practice and do stuff with the band, so I think it's really important to be at least in the same city.
Okay, and what about pads to play? Like you said, you got to go to England. Yeah, venues.
Oh, yeah, well, in the Netherlands, they're fine. There are a lot of nice venues, and in England as well, so yeah, we've got nothing to complain.
I'm thinking about Amsterdam, Okie.
Yeah, that's still there.
Yeah, and that's kind of from the old days, you know.
It is, and it's a really punk venue.
Yeah.
So, that's a really nice one, and of course, one of the bigger ones is Paradiso.
Oh, of course. That was the first place I played in Holland.
Was it? Nice. Yeah. Did you play in the big...
It was it was with Black Flag, and in those days it's an old church, and it was painted all black, and it was in February of 1983, and very cold, you know, because I live in Southern California, right? So it was like whoa. But our first time to Europe and our first gig actually, and here we are at the Paradiso, and it was strange. And I mean, most of the Dutch, it was really great to play in front, but there was about 20 or 30 Nazis.
Really?
Believe it or not. I mean, this is a long time ago, okay?
Yeah.
35 years ago. And they were wearing these green jackets and big boots and were giving this interesting salute. And they ran the first band off the stage. And now, this wasn't all the Dutch people. This very small minority, of course. And, you know, it was time for us to go on. And Dee Boone asked me and Georgie, he goes, are they going to run us off? And Georgie said, nope. And I just thought, well, these two guys ain't going to run. I ain't going to run either. And we did it. And, it was interesting. And I remember to stay warm, we played even faster because it was kind of chilly for us. But okay. And now I've played Paradiso since. It's no longer painted black. And there's also several rooms. Yeah, I've played in smaller rooms in the place.
Yeah, it's really nice. I like it.
Absolutely. I mean, the Dutch people, they support culturally big time their artists. And interesting thing. And at least, yeah, there's still some band stuff. Do you remember the first gig you did with your brother in front of people?
Yeah, it was... we organized it ourselves. So we... There's this rehearsal space underneath the hotel, so it's like a bunker. And then we did 3 days in a row and invited all our friends. So there could be, I think, 20 people in one day, in one evening. And then we did our first 3 gigs, like kind of tryout stuff.
Kind of residency.
yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, but I was so nervous when we
did it. Oh, I can imagine. And but it was a success, right?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was.
What about the first time that you played outside of Holland, like when you went to England? What was that
like? Well, I mean, the thing was, when we started off, we kind of immediately had more response from England than from the Netherlands. So those 3 shows, we immediately went to the UK for a week. And that was so much fun. I think it's really nice that we did it that way, because in the Netherlands, you get kind of spoiled if you're an artist. So in terms of, like, you get your fees are better, you get a lot of drinks and food, and it doesn't really matter if you're really big. Of course, if you're really big, you get a lot more, but you start off with a fridge full of beer. And if you go to the UK and you're not really, well, you haven't done anything at all, then you just start off with 4 water bottles and maybe 1 beer each, and that's it.
Sort of like over here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what everyone says. Yeah, America, yeah. UK.
They're very close that way. Yeah, because it's more like you're playing in bars and pubs, I guess. And the other way, you're playing in a kind of cultural institution. So, yeah, there's a slight... I think it's good to play both places.
Yeah,
anyway, no, I think it's good to play anywhere you can.
Yeah, no, definitely. But it was nice for us to kind of to start off somewhere where you don't, well... get a lot of stuff.
Sure.
So you appreciate it more if you get stuff like that.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And how'd you get around? You brought a car over, you came over on a ferry?
The thing was, we were too young to drive and to hire a van as well. So my dad hired a van for us and he drove us.
Oh, bitchin'! That's great! Oh, wow, your pop took you on your first little tour.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, did you do the channel or did you do a ferry?
I think we did the ferry. We did the ferry, yeah, because we were sleeping at the boat as well.
That's what you do usually, because you got to conk anyway, so why not do an overnight trip? But the tunnel's like 45 minutes, you know, in Calais.
It is.
It's an amazing thing.
It's a lot more deeper as well.
that's a very good point. Hey, we're at the end of the first hour of the September 7th, 2018 Lot from Pedro show. Special guest, Pit Bloem from Amsterdam. Hold tight for hour 2. September 7th, 2018, it's the second hour of the Lot from Pedro show.
Everything's okay. So many eyes looking your way. You take your time and say there's nothing to do. I wish I was a little more like you. You know my name.
Airtight case. good enough? I good enough? In the seeds of doubt inside my brain, somebody left me not knowing how or if to love again. So I was asking, could you help me out? 'Cause I don't know, and make it clear so I
Hey, that's
Watt for Pedro show. We're just discussing trippy things about language and pronunciation. But we started the second hour off with Truth from Pip Blom, then Mold Omen with Shipwreck Nerve at Delphi, Bonsai Universe, Am I Good Enough, Richard Hell, Going, Going, Gone. That's for Banksy because, yeah, Going, Going, Gone, one of his art pieces that went up for auction, and as soon as they banged the gavel, he had some, like, shredder he built into it, tear it up. And then Richard Hell, yeah, doing the Bob Dylan cover. It made sense to me. I don't know. Vinny Vegas, the Lady Hump. After that, Soul Made of Pain. Vinny put on a show here in Pedro last night. Me and my segment played with some cats from Sunland called Are You a Cop? But they don't put a question mark at the end, so it's supposed to be some kind of statement. Happy Laura with, they're from Colombia, with La Casita del Skate, a little skate house, huh? And then finally, Pip Blom, Babies Are a Lie, which I thought was a very interesting title.
Think so.
Especially from a lady.
Well, I mean, sorry, that was
okay. You just took a picture.
Yeah, I did. Well, I
screenshot.
Yeah, it was a screenshot, but it wasn't on purpose. I did something. I was fiddling around. I shouldn't do that. But
I think it's Command Shift 3.
Is it?
Yeah. On a Mac.
I'm not jumping new.
Anyway, tell me about that tune.
Well, I don't really like. I never kind of explained the titles and the lyrics.
That's okay. That's okay then. Yeah, because you already wrote the song. Why do you have to explain it?
Yeah, well, and I like people to come up with their own thoughts and give it their own meaning, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's my old joke about it. You go in the museum, and then the explanation for the painting is actually bigger than the painting.
That's weird, right?
Totally weird. Totally weird. Okay, let's talk about recording, though. Now, what was the first stuff? Well, first stuff you did was the Sound on Sound with you alone, right? Overdubbing.
Yeah.
And you released that. That was your first releases, right? Okay, but then your brother gets in the picture, and then you guys bring on a rhythm section. So how is that different?
Well, it just sounds a lot more, how can I explain? I think it sounds a lot more lively. So, for example, Truth, I Made at Home. And then I think I'm in Love was the first song that we recorded in a proper studio with the whole band. And it just sounds a lot more like, there's a real band playing it. And it changed also in a way that more people got involved at thinking about the songs, how we could make it better.
Ah, they brought in ideas.
Yeah.
So some collaboration.
Yeah, and I love that about being in a band, that it's not just about you, but also that other people can come up with ideas.
Does it always have to be people? What about this next tune, Pussycat? Can it be about cats?
Yeah, it can also be about cats.
Okay, let's listen.
You want to fly, or you pay?
take two on this because I forgot to hit the record button. You know, 17 and a half years of doing this show, and I still fuck up like that. I'm so sorry. So, well, we played what you heard was Pussycat from Pitbull, then A Washing Machine, Mike Rignetta, Omniflux, and Tilt Spills, A Couple of Seashells, and Natural, of Neural Tower, Dustin Wong, Father and Son Team here, Tashi Wada and Yoshi Wada, and Friends, with Niagara. That's funny, you know, I played with two Italian guys, and I took them on a tour in the U.S., and they've never heard of Niagara Falls, you know. They thought it was Niagara, because if you look at the spelling, of course. And then finally, yeah. Mundane from Pip Blom. And I was asking about Pussycat, you know, how they recorded it. And they're you know, we were discussing before about collaboration. Well, she also said another perspective was brought, a producer. And let's talk about him. Because he's a Scottish guy, but he did 20 years here in SoCal.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, to record with a lot of hip-hop artists and R&B. So, for example, Jay-Z, Beyonce, I think he also worked with Rihanna, Kanye. But we didn't know that when we started working with him.
How'd you meet him, Pip?
What?
How'd you meet him?
Well, our manager introduced us to him. And they were like, he said, I think you guys are really going to get along. And that was completely the case, because his way of recording is a lot different than we do it in the Netherlands. So what he does is he puts everything into one room. Well, not everything. So the drums are in one room, and then, but without the cymbals, so without the, like, the tsh, because
yeah,
otherwise
yeah.
It's very difficult to record.
And well, then, the thing about that is, especially with tom-toms, to bring mm-hmm. the tom-toms up, the cymbals come with them. So if you record without cymbals, or you do the cymbals on a separate pass. Actually,
yeah.
my buddy Grant Hart and Husker Du did this like 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what Butch Vig did with Dave Grohl for Nirvana, too.
Yeah, I think so, too, yeah. But it was really nice because Dave, what he did was we weren't recording it with headphones on. So he played everything really loud through the speakers, what we were doing. So you have a bit of spill, but it's not annoying. And it really feels like you're playing it live, which
yeah.
helps for energy. Because otherwise, you're really in your own bubble because you're wearing headphones and you're lots of the time you're in a different place. So in a, for example, different room than a drummer is.
Absolutely.
And this was so much.
This is more like a gig.
Yeah, and I think that's really important if you make the kind of music that we are making, because it's all about like kind of fun and yeah, it's not. I mean, what
bouncing
we're doing
off each other, yeah, interacting.
Yeah, and what we're doing is not that difficult, so it should like be really vibrant and yeah, all that, yeah. So it was really nice that we had the privilege to work with
this, kind of approach. You know, believe it or not, Second Stooges album, Funhouse, 1970.
Yeah.
They set it up. They set the studio up like it was a gig. Ig had a PA system in there. It was like
yeah.
they were actually playing a gig.
Yeah.
And well, maybe that's why that album has a certain kind of feel.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. That's, and you know, working with there's a stupid thing in music called genre, you know, because for me, music is music. So that's righteous that he could, you know, it doesn't matter on what kind of instruments or beats per minute or anything. Music is music, and he was just feeling, you know, the vibe that you guys had, and he didn't want to put you in a box. Yeah, much respect to him about
that.
That. You know, so what? Like your manager introduces you. What did he come to a gig and see you play?
Yeah, he did, and then we.
That's probably what gave him the idea. He probably thought, "Wow, this is a live band."
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right, and so I don't want to like make it sterile. I don't want to stifle them. So
yeah.
I'm gonna have them play, but yeah, would you call it spill? I think we call it bleed, but it means other sounds get the microphones. But if a little bit does, it actually makes it sound better. So it's not all separate. It's a problem I have with some digital recording now. Things are too separate. They don't sound like the people are playing together. It sounds like, what do you call it? Cut and paste.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree.
And you know, the days like Nat King Cole, right, in the 40s and 50s, I mean, they're literally cutting to a lacquer, right? Not even tape, right? Where it's going to cost $75, which was probably about $1,000 to do another one. And here comes the trumpet solo. The guy's actually got to move closer to the microphone because there's no chance of mixing. Can you believe those days? So nowadays, maybe, yeah, like you were saying a little bit about gigs, maybe sometimes it's too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it definitely is. And also, I think a big problem right now is that you have too many options, and sometimes it's great to just be limited in what you can do. So...
Because you put it more to use because that's all you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's more of a necessity thing. Yeah, because humans operate a little different under necessity and under leisure.
Yeah, they do.
Great perspective there, Pip. We come to the end of the second hour, September 7th, 2018 edition of Walk Beaver Show. Special guest, Pip Blum. Sorry. Hang tight for hour three. September 7th, 2018, it's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Pick the phone up, ooh, whenever. Hey, you better believe it.
Bob from Pedro Show. We start off the third hour with Misty from Heaven, Pip Plum. Then the King Brothers, brand new from Tokyo with No One. David Nusselhoff, Hamburg, featuring Axel Feiga, maybe. Or Feiga. sorry. Believe It. And then Bird Pervitz out of upstate New York. Pus-Eating Maggots. That's an image. And then Yurt out of Dublin. We just had a Bushy on a couple weeks ago. Run the Gauntlet. And finally, Hours by Pip Blom. So, altogether, how long did it take to make this a record?
The one you have there?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a compilation of everything we did in the past, I think, year and a half.
I think we call that a sampler.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. But right now we are working on a new record. And
This is already old news. Okay. Okay. So what? Tell me about the new record.
Well, we have been, I think we were a month, no, 3 weeks ago we were in Ramsgate in the UK. And we
I played the place there.
Yeah.
There's a little club there. Yeah, that's an interesting, a little harbour town.
Yeah, it's a really nice town, and there's a great studio there. It's called Big Jelly Studios, and we went there with Dave again, so Dave McGregor, and we spent there 10 days to I think 14 days, and then we went home, and now at the end of this week we're going back again to do another 9 days, I think, or maybe six, something like that, and then we're done. So,
you know who I think lives there is Adrian Sherwood, a tech kid. Yeah, he goes way back with Mark Stewart and stuff. In fact, some of the Sugar Hill guys, I think Keith LeBlanc, Doug Wimish, I know, is a Connecticut guy. But yeah, the Ramsgate, they were telling me they're going to make like a railroad going to London, a fast one, because it's going to be kind of like a suburb or some trip. But I really liked it. I got to play there once. So, what you're doing is, you're doing the basic tracks now.
Yeah.
Right? And, I'm interested about the process. Did you, like, at practice, you first play the songs for Dave, and he listens to it, makes notes?
Well, what we did was, I first made the demos at home.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I always done it, like, with the layers and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We practice it a lot with the band. Try to play them live as well, because if you play songs live, you can get the best feel.
Absolutely.
Work. And then we spent one day in the rehearsal room with Dave, and he made a lot of notes. And then we went to a studio, and yeah, he used different kind of mics and all different kind of setups, different amps to get the most out of the songs.
Okay, I want to play Taxi Driver. This ain't about... well, you don't want to talk about what they're about, so...
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, yeah. Taxi Driver, last music for this edition. Pip Blum. And then Dark Matter, Dark Energy, brand new from Four Dimensional Nightmare out of the Pacific Northwest. Seattle would be specific. David Gerard from the other side of the country, eastern side of Massachusetts, Between Two Worlds for Popol Vuh. A little Latin there, huh? And then Andrea Roten, Italian guy living in Czech Republic, doing And No Businessmen Out There. And finally, Come Home, Pip Blum. What's the plan for this album? What you do after the 9 days?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably mix time, right?
It is.
And how does Dave do that? Does he do that on his own?
No, we're going to mix it with someone else.
Ah, okay.
Because Dave wanted someone else to mix it.
Sure.
So I am going to go into the studio with a guy called Dilla Paris, and he mixed one of my favorite albums, which is called Jewelry by Mikachu and the Shapes. And he also did the last King Crew album. And I'm going to spend the first 5 days mixing with him. And then I'm going to go back home for, I think, 2.5-3 weeks. And then I'm going to spend the last 6 days with him mixing again. So I'm there to kind of explain and then let him do his own thing.
Sure.
And when I get back there, we can finish everything.
And Pip, where is there?
It's in London.
Oh, you're going to London, okay.
Yeah.
The big town. Okay, that sounds very exciting. And then it's going to come out, and then you're probably going to tour, right?
Yes, definitely. Well, first we're going to do a tour for this EP that we've released last Friday.
Oh, that's right, this little four-song thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And that's going to be around the UK as well, so that's going to be 2.5 weeks. And then right now we're really busy planning the tour for the album. But that's when hopefully we can go to the UK as well, to the US.
Over here, because I was going to ask, when are you guys going to get a chance to come over here?
We would love to come to the U.S., but the thing is, it's just so expensive.
Yeah.
And also with the working visa, so that's a bit difficult. But we are trying to save money to come over, yeah.
Let me tell you about my first time to Netherlands. When we show up at the Schiphol at the airport.
Yeah.
It's Minutemen, the Black Flag guys, and how long are you going to be here? Well, we're just going to play, will you show us a ticket? You leaving? So when we showed them the airplane ticket, like, we were going to leave. Oh, yeah, you can come in. We just had to prove that we were going to leave. Now, this was 1983, February, so a little while ago. But
yeah.
Very open. But I've heard about guys, people trying to get in here, and it can be difficult. Even our neighbors, the Canadian cats, it can be very difficult to get in here. And I'm so sorry about that, because we got this green lady with a big torch in her hand saying, come on. So one day we're going to make that more real. But I'd love to come see you. And also, have you come here as a tourist or anything?
No, I have never.
Awesome. It would be great for you just check it out firsthand.
Yeah. No, I would love that, yeah.
Pip, what about if people want to learn about you on the internet? Where can they find you on the internet?
Everywhere.
Okay. Well, tell the listeners.
Well, it's all everywhere. We're called Pip Blum, so that's easy. So we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find our music on Spotify, iTunes.
But also there's a website, right? PIPBLOM.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very important, I think, people. People, you should have your own websites. It's like having your own fanzine.
Yeah.
We don't have to all meet at the shitter or the fake look, you know. We can have our own fanzines. So everybody, get your own websites. It don't cost that much. But she's on all the other places, too. But you can always go to PIPBLOM.com and get the word straight from Pip about what's going on in her music world. And, That's right. So you're probably going to do a Europe tour, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the furthest east have you been?
I think Italy.
Okay. Yeah. Last year I was there, I got to do 11 gigs in Italy.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, for sure, when you go again, try to get south, like Sardinia and Sicily.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, the, everything's not just in the north. All of Italy's kind of happening. It took me years to get further south in Roma, you know?
Yeah.
And,
no, but it's great. I've been on holiday to Italy, and it was to the south, and I really like the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
It's really pretty. Yeah, I love that.
That's great. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. People, check out what she's doing, what's going on. You got to hear a bunch on the show. You got to hear her story. She's letting the freak flag fly. I thank your father so much for singing those lullabies to you when you were little. He had a lot of influence, and it's a good thing, you know. And don't worry about Holland. You know, maybe there's this track going on now, because like a farmer would tell you, I think it's boer in Dutch, huh? A farmer.
Yeah.
If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So, you know, things go in cycles. You know the way humans are.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful what you've been doing. I want to thank David, your man in New York City, for making the connect. Because, you know, that's how you find out about stuff, right? It's the old, people ask me about the old days. It was about people. Well, the new days is about people, too. So thanks so much, David. Thank you, Pip, for being on the show so much. And safe seas. Keep the keel in the water and let that freak flag fly. People, it's been the September 7th, 2018 edition of Wap for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.